glorify your name and be in awe of who you are. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for blessing us with such intimacy and with your intimate heart, Lord. Thank you, God, that you want to know us. Thank you, Lord, that you want to know us. God, I pray that our hearts would pursue yours, that we would want to know you. Lord, I pray that you birth inside of us today something special. And Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us individually, because you haven't made one of us the same. God, we glorify your name this morning. Lord, thank you for teaching us, Lord, leading us, guiding us. Lord, I pray for us to have willing hearts, and I ask forgiveness for our disobedience and our unwillingness, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. I believe there's someone here that struggles with anger. If you're here this morning and you know there's a deep-rooted anger inside of you, with everyone's eyes closed, please. If there's anger inside of you, can you just quickly raise your hand? And there's someone here this morning as well that you felt very lonely this week. And you felt as if God has kept you there in that place of being alone. If you've raised your hand, I just quickly want you to come stand here in front of me. Some of the cell leaders just come up to pray as well. Amen. Thank you, Ben. It was really special, ushering us into the presence of God. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you, because we do. This morning, I just walked in here and I was like, yo, what a special family. I was away for 2 weeks on an audit in Walvis Bay. And when I walked in here, I was just like, yeah, it's nice to be home. It's really nice to see friendly faces. And I have my three brothers. Yes, I haven't seen them in a while. We do crazy stuff for Jesus. And yeah, it's so fun to be in a family where you are loved, where you are cared for, where people support you, where they want to walk a road with you. It's really, really awesome. I don't actually know what I'm going to say, but I trust God. I only have 3 scriptures this time, which I believe is enough, because I think the Holy Spirit wants to birth something special in our hearts this morning. God has been speaking to me a lot about His will and what it means to only pursue Him and Him alone. Before we go on, we have this most holy place inside of us. And I thought you can share it with anyone. I thought I could share it with Yakumin, my fiance, but you can't. You can share that place with no one else except God, and only He is allowed in there. He's the only one that's allowed to sit on that throne, and He's the only one that is allowed to actually impart into your life. Obviously, we know that we have brothers that also have the Holy Spirit. That is confirmation when we don't hear God that well, but that is sacred and that is holy, and He's the only one that needs to sit there. And then the other thing as well is God is not confused. He knows exactly what He's doing. Even though we may doubt Him, and even though we're going through a rough situation, God knows exactly what He's doing. And even though you don't know, you can't see what's going to happen or what He's busy with, we just need to know that God knows what He's doing. And if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, even if you haven't, He's already busy with plans so that you will have a day where you give your life to Him. But when you are Spirit-filled and reborn Christian, you follow God with every intention of your heart to seek His will, you won't miss it, because He honors our decisions, but He wants us to do His will. So if you make a wrong decision, so remember, God is not confused with His will and His plan for your life and for my life. So say you make a decision, you make the wrong decision, and you have prayed about this and you've sought God's heart for this decision, and you make the wrong decision. He will help you to make the right one before you need to carry out that decision. But we need to speak about a place of our hearts. Do we seek His will? Do we ask Him before we make a decision? Then we make the decision. Like David's heart. God said that David was a man after His own heart. And I started to look at 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, compare Saul's heart with David's heart. And one thing I noticed about David is every time he went into battle, he asked God how. He asked God, should he? He asked God, will this nation be delivered into my hands, before he did anything? And I think that is an amazing thing about David's heart and why God said he's a man after my own heart. He never wanted to make his own decisions. Even when he wanted to destroy, I can't remember his name, but Abigail was and Abigail was his wife, and David wanted to destroy this owner of many sheep and flock when he moved to the Philistines, and he didn't ask God if he was allowed to destroy this man, but God knew his heart, and he sent Abigail, which was what is his name again? Huh? Yeah, I know he's meant to fool, but well, anyways. But this ruler, he wanted to kill him and destroy him for, doesn't matter which reason, but God just knew his heart. And then he sent Abigail, this godly wife, that stops David. And David sees his error in his ways. And God actually prevents him from sinning against what is actually inside of his heart. David was never chosen by his physical appearance. We know that when Samuel came to pick David as king, he first went to through seven of Jesse's sons, and then God said, I don't look as man looks. I don't look at the physical appearance, but I look at the heart. And that's amazing. God wants our hearts to be in it. God has been working a lot in my heart about his will and only doing his will. What happened to me is, and I only saw it when once I was in a relationship with Yakumin and I got engaged, I saw that many times I would manipulate my decision with her feelings. I would say, no, I'm only protecting her heart. That's why I'm not doing this and this and this. And it was actually an eye-opening experience because I do that in many circumstances. God will give me a word and I have to give it to someone and I'll be like, no, but Lord, what if they're in a bad position? What if it offends this person? Or God, I'm going to freak this person out. But God's word carries full authority. So it doesn't matter whether you're going to offend this person or not. You're not actually going to, because his heart's going to submit to that authority and it's going to actually bless that person a lot. So what I've been doing is I've been giving the fault. I've been blaming others for not being obedient. And then God does amazing stuff. He takes away a bit of his grace and then you need to run back to him and sort it out and have a conversation. Me and Yakumin has been going through a very tough time in our relationship. But we have these amazing two couples in church that helps us a lot and which we are accountable to a lot. And one of them said, I can't remember who, but one of them said to us that it doesn't help you just say, I'm sorry. Because you're going to do it again and then you have to say sorry again. And you're going to do it again and then you have to say sorry again. Rather say sorry and then be like, why did I do this? Why did I act the way I acted? To get to that root in order to get it out. So that it doesn't happen again. And I'm very easy to say sorry. Yakumin doesn't like to say sorry. But she wants to talk through things. I don't necessarily want to talk through things. And that's how I started to understand that I do the same with God. I just repent and I go on and I do the same thing again. And then I started with a conversation with God. When people said, it's a two-way conversation, I never actually did that. I just said, God, more of you, less of me, and then I go. And then I pray for everyone else, and I don't actually share my heart with God. And my relationship with Yakumin helped me a lot to see how I was with God. It's like an indicator. If I'm selfish, then most probably I'm selfish with my prayer life as well. Everything's about me instead of about the people around me. And I started doing this with God, and I asked him, okay, Lord, why am I doing this in such a way? Why, when I come to people, I want to tell them what they should believe, and I want to tell them my testimony out of a place of pride. And then God started to speak back to me, and I was just like, I'm not going to repent about this, just I'm going to repent, and then I'm going to ask God, what's going on? What's happening? I want to have a conversation. I want to know God. I want to get to know him. And we serve an amazing God. And this is where he shared this part of me. I had this thought in my mind that God created the earth in 7 days, and 6 days, and the seventh day he rested, and then he stopped, and then he only intervenes in some points, and that was actually not very biblical. And then he started to tell me, Johnny, I still have the whole world in my hands. And I was just like, yo, that's an amazing thought. He still has the whole world in his hands, and he is still in complete control. So when we say like, oh, yeah, the devil attacked us and it was this spirit. And you know, every spirit first has to present itself before God before it can come and minister to us. So God is also in control of that. And when something bad happens, when something happens that shakes your boat and your foundation, God allowed that to happen. And he knows what he's doing. He is not confused with what he is doing. Our reaction should not be against what is busy happening. Our reaction should be, God, what do you want to tell me by allowing this to happen? When Job, when he was zealous for God, he lived a consecrated lifestyle to God, but there was something in his heart that wasn't right between him and God. And the enemy, Satan, came to him and presented himself before God and asked, you know what, can I shake Job's boat a bit? And God said, yes, but you can't touch his life. And long story short, because it's a long book, we can see that he never actually has a conversation with God. Hy kla verskriklik baie. And his friends accuses him a lot. They weren't really their friends. And then at the end, when God sees that, okay, now it's done. Now you can't go on like this anymore. And God intervenes and he sees God and he radically changes. And afterwards, God blesses him even more than he was blessed before. So when something happens to us and our boats get shifted and our boats get rocked, don't be so quick to say, oh, it's an attack of the devil and I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. Yes, there's a place for that as well. But first ask God, why is this happening? Was it because of my disobedience? Was it because of something that I didn't do? Was it because of there's something in my character that needs shaping? Remember, he's in control. Then he knows exactly what he's doing. That is very important for me, for us to understand. And then in this place of conversation, he also showed me that each and every one of us is called for a specific part of his will. If you say no, he'll choose someone else. But his heart has such a desire for you to fulfill that part, because you have been made to fulfill that part. You've been equipped, you're being raised up. And you know what? If your heart says, yes, God, I want to, he'll take you through a lot of stuff so that you will be able to do it. And you need to be prepared to take that. Not be offended with God. And if you are, share it with him. God is okay with you being angry with him, because he knows you're going to be. But he wants you to have that conversation. Why are you angry, God? Why do you allow this to happen? And not to, confine, close up those thoughts that he actually already knows are inside of your heart. It's not like you can hide it away. But he has this desire to be in partnership with us. He has this desire to walk with us, to do with us. He has certain responsibilities. We have certain responsibilities. He's not going to do your responsibilities, and you can't do his. When he tells you to lay hands on the sick, he's not going to lay his hands on the sick. You're going to lay your hands on the sick, but you're not going to heal. He's going to heal. And I didn't understand this as well. And in this conversation that I have with God, he also spoke to me about how I don't take up my responsibility. I often just want to sit back and say, okay, God, first give me a word, then I'll go out. Or Lord, first show me this part of your character, then I will do this and that. And instead of being, God, what is my responsibility in this relationship? And speaking to him about it. What is my responsibility in the part of your world that you've called me for? And then taking up that responsibility. Don't take up his responsibilities. Like, if you're going to be driven to get a door for the youth in, say, VRS, then you're not going to get that door because you're going to claim the glory for yourself. But if you see God's heart for youth, if you see God's heart for an open door at VRS, that is your responsibility, and to pray through it. And who knows? Just because you were obedient and that's your heart, he opens up a door, chum, and that's fine, and that's okay. But God will do the supernatural parts. He will do that supernatural opening of doors. We need to know what our responsibilities are. Our responsibilities are often just to pray. Sometimes it's to do. When we look at Jesus, he was the perfect example of only doing God's will. He never said anything else than what God told him, and he didn't do anything else than what God told him to do. That is amazing meekness. Meekness means perfect power under perfect control. And that's what Jesus had. And that's a tremendous inspiration. And in this conversation that I had with God, he also showed me that I was sharing his throne room with Yakumin because I love her so much. And we got very consumed and distracted in what God's calling was in our lives, because we just spent time with one another. And it's nothing wrong with spending time with one another, but there's a place where it just become ongezond, unhealthy. And we will have a great time, and then at the end we will fight. We will fight about something or whatever. And then the whole day is a gemors, it's bad. And then the next day will happen exactly the same. And we came to a point where we had an argument, and we were like, okay, if you were not to go out with me, what would you do? She was like, no, I'll go to Stellenbosch, I'll serve the church, and I'll just go zealously on for God. I'm like, okay, cool. I think exactly the same.
but I don't want to say it because I want to protect our heart. And now I'm just like, okay, I'm going to say this. And I said it. And then we came to the conclusion, like, why can't we do this together while we are with one another? Why does this passion, why is this passion inside of our hearts when we are away from one another? This is weird. This is not something that should be there. It should actually be much more effective and on fire for God when we are together. And then we started to have this conversation, like me and God had a conversation, now me and Yakumin started to have a conversation, and we just started to realize that we're spending way too much time with one another and so little time with God. And then we decided, okay, it's only going to be God's will. And the first scripture there is Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And often we just want to read that scripture and say, all things shall be added to you. And that's just before that scripture, it says about how the lilies are clothed and for your provision. So we think it's only provision, but it's actually inclusive, everything. And all these things shall be added to you. And we decided, okay, God, we're going to do just what you want us to do. And everything starts pulling together, like silver line. Everything starts pulling together. We have the most fun. We laugh. We just have this ball of a time. Before we do something, we pray, we ask God, do you want us to do this? Don't you want us to do this? We want to seek His kingdom. We want to seek His righteousness. God's kingdom is salvation, and His righteousness is actually faith with works, because without works, faith is dead. And because Scripture says that Abram believed God, he had faith in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So when we see God's righteousness, it's actually the practice of our faith. And when God tells us something, that we go and do it, that there's works together with it. But I'm going to read you some two other scriptures as well. And we just said, God, here we are. And then God started to challenge us, like, tremendously. I had to start giving away my money, and I didn't have money. I was in the shop, and then there would be someone behind me that wouldn't have the money to pay for their things. And I'm like, I have a budget, and I know I have to budget. And my budget is minus $941. I can't pay for this person's food as well. And it happened 3 times for 3 days. And we were just like, we're just going to do it. And when I come back to Yakumin, she's like, you did what? No, it's fine. It's fine. It's God's will. Okay, and then we go on again. And we just pursued God's will to a next level. And we only did what He said we needed to do. And we came back from Wolfish Bay, and we had to see some friends of us. And I wasn't up for it. I was just like, I'm tired. I don't want to. This is not nice. And I'm like, I know God wants this. And I'm like, Yakumin, what does God say? No, we have to go. I'm like, no, I don't want to go. Okay. But we're doing God's will. He'll give us the strength. And because we haven't spent time together. And I'm going on Sunday. I'm going again for audit for a week. But she can't come with me. So I was just like, I want to spend time with her. And this thing comes in again. And we're like, no, we're going to do God's will. And it was amazing. I've never seen Yakumin minister to someone like that in my life. And it was so inspiring to see my fiance do that. I just saw a different part of God's heart, that when we put Him first, we seek His kingdom first and His righteousness, He makes that time that you spend together so much more worth it. He makes you see beautiful stuff in one another, and you celebrate it. And you take up your cross without you even knowing you're taking up your cross. And it's so amazing. It's so amazing. You go through tough times, like heavy tough times, but it's okay. Just remember to have that conversation. The second scripture, James 2, verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with His works, and by works, faith was made perfect? Now, this scripture speaks about Abram. And in the beginning, James 2, as it starts at verse 13, it says that the writer just said, like, without your faith, or if your faith doesn't have works, then that faith is nothing. Even the demons believe in God, and they quiver with fear. So faith, the word itself, we often make it out as if it's a magic word, if it's this thing that we need to have before something can happen, like healings, for instance. Or we have this connotation to faith that it's a magical wonder word. But it's actually something that God tells you to do, and then you go and do it.
because you trust that He will come through for you in that instance. It can be at your work. Don't do this deal, even though it means you're going to be sorted for the rest of your life. Or do this deal, even though it looks small. Or go and pray for that person. And that faith is something God speaks to you intimately about, and you go and do it. And it's this relationship you have with Him. Faith applied, biblical faith. Believe that God is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's in Hebrews 11. Yes, and God just opened up my eyes and next level, because I started to lose my wonder for Him. I started to lose my passion and my zeal for Him. And I wanted to fix things in my life. I wanted to have my hands on those things, and I wanted to fix them. I'll be like, I'm going to apply a biblical principle. I'm going to have this 5 steps of how to do this right. And then I want to apply it, and it doesn't work. The only thing that works is, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You have this tremendous amount of grace. You don't stop fighting. You just have a very quick reset button. You just press it, and then done. And then you talk to one another and ask why and how, and you sort it out, and it's so much cooler. And you see these amazing things that God does through your fiance, or if you're married, your spouse. And to walk with God in that sense is amazing. God can do all these things by Himself. His will is sovereign. He can do these things by Himself, but He chooses not to. Jerusalem's wall wasn't rebuilt until someone like Nehemiah came along and he wept and he fasted. God baptized him with His heart and He interceded so that God's will can come through. God could have restored that wall within an instant. He could have sent His angels and restored it, but He chose us. He chose us, and that's amazing. And we get so consumed by what the devil is doing, and we get so consumed with our own stuff that we miss it. And it's a snowball effect. It becomes bigger and bigger, and you don't know how to get out of it. And then God knows, like, okay, I've been long-suffering enough. I'm going to draw the line. And then He draws the line in a very gracious way, and then He shows you how to get out of it. But I believe He's been speaking to me about it so that I can speak to you about it. If you're in that snowball effect, if you're in that place where everything in the natural is just chaos, and it's you and you and you and you just want, and you're consumed with what you are busy with, and the devil distracts you and you get consumed with that, stop, spend time with God and ask Him, what is His will? And if you don't hear what He wants you to do specifically today or tomorrow, it's difficult for you to discern the Holy Spirit's voice. Ask God to show you in Scripture. God is not removed from society. He still has the whole world in His hands. He doesn't speak to us unconsciously, but consciously. We know when He speaks. You won't be double-minded in when He speaks to you. And if you are, you can ask Him, put something in my heart that I might know this is what You want me to do. God has given, after we've made a decision to follow God's will and only His will, me and Yakumin, He starts opening up doors for promises He gave her in Stellenbosch. And I can't share this with you now because it's something intimate between her and God. And He opens up that door as soon as we decided that. And it's like this, everything falls in place. And I had to make some few sacrifices as well because I was very selfish. And I laid that down. And then suddenly, doors start to open up for me as well. And I ask God, God, I don't know if this is Your will. Please put something in my heart. I feel it in my spirit, but my emotions get sometimes mixed with my spirit. And then I make the wrong decision. And I decide, this is what I'm going to do, but Lord, if You want me to do this and this is the right decision, put something in my heart. And He says to me, broken key. That's all He says to me. That's why He shows me a picture of a broken key. And obviously I want to find this broken key and I want confirmation for this thing and this thing. And then I just give up. Then I'm just like, God will never act in the way that you think He will act. And He will never give you confirmation for the decision you made when you look for that confirmation. And now I give up the confirmation. And I come back and I go to Paul and we quickly go to his work to get some documents. And he puts the key into the keyhole and he turns it. And there on his keychain is a broken key. And I'm just like, God, what? I'm just like standing there and my spirit is just like so on fire because now I know that's God's will. I can do it.
And that's how intimate God is. If you don't know the will for your life, start to have this conversation with God. And you know what? He designed us differently. I wanted everyone to be evangelists. That's my heart. I want everyone to be evangelists. I want everyone to go out and preach the gospel and bring a word for a person and get people saved, get people into the church. But you know what? God has shown me how amazing it is when you have the fivefold ministry. We have it in our cell and we are crazy for Jesus. And there's a teacher, and there's a pastor, there's a prophet, there's an evangelist. And it's awesome. It's amazing how the cell is on fire and we don't get pulled skew because someone will offend someone else because I'm an evangelist. And like, no, you can't be like this now. And we need to do this. And we need to. And that offense is good because we sort it out. We sort this thing out. So you have been called for a specific something. If you are pastoral, don't tell me you're not called to go and save people. That's a lie. Don't hide away with, oh, I'm pastoral. I'm not an evangelist. But God has called you to do it in a specific way. Not my way, but in a specific way. He has called you to. I had a conversation with a friend the other day, and he's like, yeah, I am pastoral, but you know what? I want to have a coffee with someone and build a relationship with that person and then lead them to Christ. I don't want to give them a word and then lead them to Christ, and that's fine. But don't hide away when there's a lack of passion and you're shielding that. Rather say, I don't have a passion for going out and sharing the gospel with someone or to do what God has called me to do, to be that teacher that He's called me to be. Say for it. Say to God, God, I don't have that passion, but I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And you know what? You've been made special by God in a specific way. And that part of His will, only you can do. But He's also created someone else that if you say no, can take that up. But He wants you to take that up. That I want to stress with you this morning. And that passion for your will, excuse me, that passion for the will that God has called you for, that is the only thing that matters. Because in that, when you do that, yeah, God just shows amazing things. But you can't zealously, drivenly do His will if you don't have a conversation with Him. Because then you become like me. You have a conversation with God, and then He's like, go and pray for that person and tell them, let's say they're struggling with finances, God is going to provide $100,000 for you. Then I run and I go and give them the word, and then along the line, 2 weeks after that, they get offended because God didn't give them the 100,000. I never finished my conversation with God. I was like, hey, God, how are you doing? And then He started speaking, and then I just walk out of the room, and then I go and I give the word to someone. That's not how it works. Finish the conversation with God, and then you go and do God's will. But in the meanwhile, spend time with Him, pursue His heart, and pursue God and God only. Not God and pursuing God because He's going to do this and this and this. Just pursue Him and His heart. Just get to know Him. And you know what? I know these people here this morning because I'm one of them that falls in sin and we focus on it. We need to stop it. I'm going to say we need to stop it in Jesus' name. Because we focus on what we're doing wrong and we want to fix it. And in the meantime, God says to you, focus on this. Say, for instance, you've stolen something and you're a kleptoman, whatever, you steal a lot. And now you stop stealing. Oh, I can't. Now you get consumed with what the devil is busy with. And you're focusing so much on this problem that God's will is right around the corner and you're not seeing it. When He's telling you, you know what? Rather go and preach the gospel to those people that steal a lot. That's the thing you need to focus on. And then that other thing gets sorted out quickly. But when we move outside of God's will, things get a bit rough. Things get a bit tough. I always have this picture that kids love to play in the rain. I don't know why. I also liked it. And then we would say, you'll get sick if you play in the rain. Come stand here with me, warm umbrella. Sometimes we decide with God as well. He stands with the umbrella and He has His warm blanket. And He says, don't go play out in the rain. Wait till it stops and then we can go play. And then we run around, then we get sick, and then we want to die, and then we're offended with God. And then we come to Him when stuff gets tough. Then we come to Him. And then He sorts it out. He heals, and then He says, okay, now you've listened. Now let's not do that. And that's, for me, in a sense, focusing on what you want to do and what the devil wants to do. But if you were close with Him, you would have been fine, you would have been okay, and God could have sent you. You know what?
You see that kid playing in the rain? Go and share with him how awesome it is with me. Go get him out of the rain. And you go get him out of the rain. And you bring him to God. And then there's two of you. And then it's like, oh, I see. God is so awesome. He's so amazing. And then those two can go out again. And they can bring another two. So that closeness with God for me is very, very, very important. John 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. How beautiful is that scripture? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Ludolf, JP, Eno, what's God's will for your life? What's God's will for your life? Are you passionately pursuing it? Paul, my friend, are we passionately pursuing what God has called us for? Or are we just consumed with what the devil is busy with? Not that we want to, or with ourselves. Like I say, this is not a condemning thing. This is something God really wants to do with us. But there's a passion that needs to be birthed inside of us and a decision that we need to make. And it's not burdensome. God never said that his will be a burden to you. Never. But there will be tough times. But when you and God are okay, then those tough times mean nothing. But even the best times can cause havoc in your life if you and God isn't okay. And when we have that okay, then it becomes easier to do God's will. And yes, you will have to die in yourself and God's going to shape you and he's going to change you, but you will always have the capacity to do what he's called you to do. Why does God want to make me a pastor in a pastoral sense, sitting and drinking 3 hours coffee with people, if that's not who he created me to be? Why would I want to do that? I know I need to spend time with people, and he will tell me who I need to spend time with. But he has told me, go out, go to the nations, preach the gospel, even if I have to stand on the street corners. Then why do I want to take a pastor and tell him, which sits in a pastor's office, go and do street preaching and mold him in something else, which is horrible for him? I don't think that's God's heart. I don't think he creates us in that sense. But we need to have a passion for what he has called us for. That is very important for me. That is very, very, very important, to be zealous for what he has called us for. And you know what? He will provide for you in that sense. And he will teach you how to have faith. Faith with works. Because we can't just say, God told me that I'm going to preach in a stadium full of people, and I'm just going to be like, okay, cool, he said that. No, I can't be like that. I'm going to pray about it. And I have to zealously seek it and be like, God, is this the opportunity? Do I need to organize it here? Where do I get the finance? Okay, I'm sorry, God. I know you will provide the finances. I just have to put out my faith there. I just quickly want us to stand. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just changing our lives this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for birthing a passion in our hearts for what you are zealous with. Lord, thank you for birthing a passion in our lives for the will that you have set out for us. God, that you have a specific plan, that you've written it with detail. And God, that you desire for us to partner with you and to take that responsibility and do what you've called us to do, Lord. I pray for a passion for this church, Father God. I pray for every person to be zealous for what you have called them for in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that, Lord, we won't want to make ourselves something else that you have called us for. Lord, I pray that we won't be busy with things to make us feel good about ourselves because we haven't been doing your will. And Lord, I pray that we would seek you. We will knock, seek. And Lord, I know we will find you. We'll have this conversation with you. God, what is your will for my life? Or what part of your will do I need to fulfill? And Lord, we would pray about that and we would have a conversation about it, Lord, and you'll birth it inside of our hearts because you say whatever is born of the Holy Spirit has overcome this world. And God, I pray that we would stop serving in church where we're not supposed to serve because it breaks down that ministry. If you don't have a passion for Heartbeat or for the kids ministry or for Ignite, don't do it. Do what God has called you for and allow Him to birth that passion inside of your heart. And God, I pray that you would raise up warriors that would give everything, that would pour out everything for that ministry that you've called them for. God, I pray that we would submit under your authority. This does not mean that we just go left and right in different directions, but Lord, I pray for submission to the body of Christ. And I thank you, Father God, that you desire so much for us to walk with you in this. And it's not this, I command you to do this, and there's just like no conversation afterwards, and you need to be radically obedient. Yes, there's a place for that, Lord, but I know that you want a conversation. You want us to understand why we're doing this. And God, that we follow you. The Holy Spirit, we follow you. Thank you, God, that you know each and every one of our hearts. Lord, you know our hearts inside and out, and you know what would be best suited for us, Lord. And God, I pray that we would say, Lord, I want to do your will and only your will in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that the men in this church would stand up and they would be the leading part of their relationship. They will be the leaders. They will be the priest, prophet, and king. And they would take up that call for their families' lives. Father God, I pray that we won't get consumed in the natural and we won't get consumed with one another, but we would be consumed with you alone and only you, Lord. If you're here this morning and you feel God has called you, it doesn't matter what it is. If you feel God has called you, I just want you, I'm not going to call you forward, I just want you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I know I've been hiding away from my calling. I know I haven't had a passion for it, but Lord, this is me just saying, I have run away from it. If that's you, just quickly raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask the band, Adrian, just to play a song. If you have raised your hand, I want you to speak to God. I want you to have a conversation with God. To have a conversation. Not to say what's on your heart without listening or asking Him what He feels about. Or not just saying, God, more of you, less of me. But to have a conversation with Him. Just quickly want everyone's eyes to remain closed. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, or you have backslidden, if you have not decided to give up everything in your life for Jesus, I'm not talking about responding for the will of God in your life, but if you have never come into relationship with God and it was foreign to you for me speaking about God speaking to me, and you have not yet engaged in God in such a way, and you haven't yet laid down your life for Him, I want you to please raise your hand and say, I haven't given my life to Jesus, or I have backslidden. If there's anyone like this, I want everyone's eyes to be closed. If there's anyone like this, please raise your hand. Because I really want to pray with you. God, I pray that, Lord, we are a very healthy church. And I thank you for that. But God, we're missing it with your will. And I pray that we would direct our focus on what you want us to focus on. And God, your kingdom is salvation and your righteousness is faith put into practice. God, then in the way that you have called us, that we would call others, why do we want to hide away the first love of our life? We've received so much healing. Why do we want to keep that away from someone? Lord, I pray that we won't be manipulated by other people's feelings. And we will tell them, you know what? Come to church with me. I have this amazing, amazing friend, King, Father that I want you to meet. And invite that person.
Good morning, everyone. I'm just here to testify of God's goodness and His sovereignty. That whatever all that Johnny has said this morning is just confirmation of what's going on in my heart. And I have a friendship with Philip and Arvania, and we spend lots of time together pursuing the Lord. And the things we speak about just came out again now, what Johnny was saying. And we fasted this week. The global fast was from Monday to Wednesday. And Wednesday was the last day, and I was sitting in the plane flying back from Apuva, and just felt that, you know, there was a lack of breakthrough in my life still. And I was just thinking, Lord, please, you know, when you're fasting, you can really come to the end of yourself, and it's like, wow, I'm going to die. And I'm sitting there and I'm paging through C.S.'s discipleship book, the 40-day discipleship book that he wrote. And because there's a young guy in church who's now a disciple or a new disciple of the Lord, and he's working through this book, and I'm just helping him with it. And then in the chapter of God's will for your life or something like that, there's a scripture, and I read it, and it was John 14, verse 21. And it just ministered to me. Because, you know, I'm really seeking the Lord, but it's so hard to get that, you know who Jesus is, and you just want to be with Him, but it's like, why am I not closer to Him? And then it spoke to me that says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me, and He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love Him and manifest myself to Him. So for me, what's just key, and it's confirmation of Johnny's sermon, is to walk in God's will, and then you'll increase in the knowledge of Him, and He'll manifest Himself to you. Yes, Lord, I just want to say thank you, Father, Lord, that you are sovereign. And Lord, you are so much more in control than we can conceive, Lord. Your ways are higher than our ways. Thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Lord, we just surrender, want to surrender everything. Yes, Lord, we love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
We're going to have one worship song, and I really want you to have this conversation with God. And if there's any other prayer that you need, please come forward. We want to pray with you. And we want to build a relationship with you, because we're an awesome family. Have a blessed day.